It will now be my privilege to introduce Elder Clark to you. Elder Kim B. Clark became 15th president of Brigham Young University, Idaho in August 2005 during the April 2007 General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He was sustained a member of the Fifth Quorum of the 70. Elder Clark was born in Salt Lake City, Utah, and raised in Spokane, Washington. After serving as a missionary for the church in Germany, he married his wife Sue in 1971. Elder Clark earned bachelor's, master's, and doctorate degrees in economics from Harvard University. Sister Clark was born and raised in Waterflow, New Mexico. She graduated from Brigham Young University in 1970, where she majored in child development and family relations. In 1978, Elder Clark became a member of the faculty at the Harvard Business School, and in 1995, he became dean of the school. He served in that capacity until his departure to become the president of BYU Idaho. Elder and Sister Clark are the parents of 7 children, and currently they have 16 grandchildren.
Thank you for that beautiful music, and thank you for the light in your eyes. Brothers and sisters, it's a blessing to be with you in this very special and dedicated place. We've gathered to worship together today, and I pray that the Holy Ghost will be with us. We're in this beautiful place that separates us from the commotion in the world and helps us focus on the things of eternity. The world we live in is certainly in commotion. It's turbulent, filled with natural and man-made disasters, unexpected dramatic political changes, wrenching shifts in economies, and much uncertainty. It's a world in which evil runs rampant. The commotion in the world is not far away. It is close to us, even in our own families at times. In this difficult, challenging world, all of us yearn for peace. We yearn for solace, comfort, and reassurance. We seek a refuge from the storm. The peace we seek is in the merits and mercy and grace of the Holy Messiah. The promise of peace the Savior makes to us is the same promise he made to his apostles at the Last Supper. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Savior's peace is much different and much more than the security, safety, an absence of war and contention the world offers as peace. As Elder M. Russell Ballard taught, the everlasting peace Jesus promises is an inner peace, born in faith, anchored by testimony, nurtured with love, and expressed through continual obedience and repentance. It is a peace of spirit that echoes through the heart and the soul. Peace, real peace, whole-souled to the very core of your being, comes only in and through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, the peace the Savior offers us is an uplifting feeling of well-being that comes as a gift of the Spirit through the atonement of Jesus Christ. It is a deep assurance born of spiritual knowledge that Jesus is the Christ, Savior and Redeemer of all mankind. It is a gift of eternal perspective that gives true understanding. It is a witness of the Spirit that our sins are remitted, and that through the merits, mercy, and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we may qualify for and obtain eternal life. It is peace of conscience, peace of mind, peace of the whole heart and soul. That peace only comes through obedience, acting in faith in Jesus Christ to repent of our sins and keep his commandments. In the words of Isaiah, there is no peace to the wicked. The Lord's promise is clear and unmistakable. He who doeth the works of righteousness shall receive his reward, even peace in this world and eternal life in the world to come. When we are true and faithful to our covenants, peace can come in abundance. As Isaiah said of the children of Israel, Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Think of what the Lord has promised. The peace of Christ can be like a river that flows into our lives. Peace like a river. Peace flows into our lives from the headwaters of obedience. It flows in two channels. The first channel is our inner spiritual life. The second is doing the work of the Lord. These channels are not alternative ways to peace. They are both essential, and they are intimately connected. I want to consider these two channels with you today. Obedience makes the flow of peace possible, but there is much that we must do to open these channels and to keep them open, that we might receive the great blessing of peace like a river. Channel number one, our inner spiritual life. Each of us comes to earth with the capacity to think, reason, ponder, learn, understand, and comprehend. We are blessed as well with the capacity to feel love, joy, compassion, forgiveness, reverence, and beauty. We are given the light of Christ to help us feel and know what is right and what is wrong. Our thoughts and feelings are spiritual in nature. They define our inner spiritual life. It is in that inner spiritual life that the Lord speaks to us. He's commanded us to be humble, to humble ourselves before Him, so that our thoughts and feelings are open to His Spirit. Here's what He said. Learn of me and listen to my words. Walk in the meekness of my spirit, and you shall have peace in me. To walk in the meekness of his spirit is to repent of our sins and act in humility to do his will, guided by the Holy Spirit. Such a walk brings the companionship of the Holy Ghost and a flow of heavenly assurance, joy, healing, forgiveness, comfort, divine perspective, understanding, light, and truth. If our thoughts and feelings are open to and in tune with the Holy Ghost, we can receive peace like a river. But these are not the only feelings and thoughts vying for our attention. The natural man in us, the ideas and philosophies of men, the lures of the world and the wiles of the devil all clamor for a place in our minds and hearts. It is easy to be distracted by the world, easy to be enticed by temptations, easy to be misled by false ideas. Even faithful Latter-day Saints may neglect their spiritual lives. There are so many projects to complete, so many errands to run, so many bills to pay, so many meetings to attend, that it is easy to be absorbed in these concerns and neglect the life of the Spirit. If we are not very careful and very diligent, this channel of peace may be disrupted. May I suggest three things we can do to open our hearts and minds to the Holy Ghost and to keep that channel of peace open? They are, first, pray morning and night. Second, study and ponder the Scriptures every day. And third, worship the Father and the Son in holy places, in our homes, and through the sacred ordinances of the sacrament and the temple. We all ought to ask ourselves if we have made these three things a priority in our lives. Do we set aside sufficient time morning and night to pray in faith with real intent, pouring out our souls to God in gratitude and thanksgiving, seeking His help for those in need, asking for His blessings in our families, in our work, and in our callings? Do we devote time to study and ponder the Scriptures? Do we treasure up in our minds the words of life so that we can hear the word of the Lord? Do we write down the impressions we receive and reflect on them? Do we express reverence and love for the Father and the Son in our families, in prayer, in our testimony? Do we participate in the ordinance of the sacrament in a spirit of worship, expressing love and reverence for the Son of God, for his love and mercy and grace? Do we always remember him? Do we participate in sacred ordinances and worship in the house of the Lord regularly? Do we let the solemnities of eternity rest upon our minds? When we consistently and diligently do all of these things with real intent, with real desire to communicate with our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ, we experience over and over again our true relationship to them. We go to the Father as his child, seeking his help, totally dependent on him, thanking him for his blessings, listening to his words, expressing to him reverence and love. We go in the name of his beloved Son, relying wholly on his merits, conscious of our need for his mercy and grace, trusting in his redeeming love. These are sacred moments. These are moments of revelation. Our Heavenly Father hears and answers our prayers. The Savior reaches out to lift and strengthen us, to forgive us and cleanse us of sin. We experience the powers of godliness in the ordinances of salvation. Our faith increases. Our testimonies grow. We learn and understand and see. We feel comfort, assurance, and love. The channel opens, and God blesses us with peace like a river. This is especially true in difficult times. There are times when our peace may be disrupted. In fact, there are times when it feels like life conspires to dump a big load of rocks right in the middle of our channel of peace. When that happens, and it will happen to us all, do not take counsel from your fears. Seek the blessings of heaven in prayer, in the scriptures, and in holy places. Act in faith in the Savior, and the channel will reopen, and peace like a river will flow once again. Now, channel number two, doing the work of the Lord. The Savior himself spoke of the second channel in these words to his disciples. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The yoke of Christ certainly includes the covenants and commandments that are in the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it also includes his work to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. The work of salvation, including member missionary work, convert retention, activation of less active members, temple and family history work, and teaching the gospel, is the yoke of Christ. When we take upon ourselves that yoke, the Lord promises us rest unto our souls. Doing the work of the Lord is a channel of peace. May I suggest three things we might do to open this channel of peace? They are, first, accept and magnify callings in the church. Second, share the gospel and invite others to act. And third, act on spiritual impressions to help others. These are simple things prophets have taught from the beginning. We might ask ourselves, however, if these things are ingrained in our lives. Do we accept callings and, as President Monson has taught, faithfully and diligently perform the service they require? Do we share the gospel with those not of our faith or those who may have wandered from the light? Do we reach out to rescue the lost soul? Do we act on the impressions we receive to go on the Lord's errand? When we do these things with the guidance of the Spirit, important things happen to us. Most importantly, the Savior goes with us in his service. And whoso receiveth you, there I will be also. For I will go before your face. I will be on your right hand and on your left. And my spirit shall be in your hearts, and mine angels round about you to bear you up. It is in his service that we come to know him. We see and feel how he works. He works through us to bless the lives of others. That is a stretching, humbling experience. It takes us outside of ourselves and helps us focus on the needs of others. Sometimes those needs seem overwhelming. We are called to act in his name, but we are acutely conscious of the fact that we cannot do what he asks alone. The only way forward is to act in faith in him. And so we pray and get up off our knees and go to work, trusting that he will help us. And he does. He really is with us. His spirit really is in our hearts, and the angels really are around us. When we do simple acts of service, like take a meal to someone we visit teach, or walk across the street to invite a less active neighbor to Relief Society, or teach our primary class, or give a copy of the Book of Mormon to the man sitting next to us on the airplane, or help a 15-year-old young man in the teacher's quorum who is struggling with pornography, or comfort the young couple we home teach who just lost a 3-year-old daughter to cancer, or share testimony of tithing and the law of chastity with a young man investigating the church, or do simple things at home like make our bed, do the ironing, watch over the children, or 1,000 other things that the Lord wants done. When we do these simple things, he goes with us. He helps us see those in need as he sees them and feel about them the way he feels about them. We speak words we know come from him. We discern needs and feel impressions about actions to take that we know are beyond our understanding. What we say and what we do have an impact on those we serve far beyond anything we have done. We feel a love for the people that we know is a spiritual gift. It is the pure love of Christ. In his service, we become witnesses of his love, his mercy, his grace, and his power. Our testimony strengthens the problems we have. Our worries and concerns are swallowed up in the service of the Lord. The Holy Ghost bears witness of Christ's love to us and for us, and his approval of our service. We gain new perspective. We see light and truth. We feel assurance. Our faith in Christ increases. Our hope in him grows. Feelings of charity swell within us. The channel opens, and peace flows into our hearts and minds. Peace like a river. Now, I know very well that service to the Lord requires hard things. It takes courage to invite someone to hear the gospel. There are disappointments. People say no. Children don't listen. Some people turn away, even after the Lord has blessed them and labored with them for a long time. It hurts. When you love someone, you open yourself to the possibility of pain and sorrow. And of course, those rocks we talked about earlier, illness, accidents, the world economy, and so forth, may disrupt our peace. But the way forward, the way to restore peace, is to serve the Lord. Serve in your calling. Share the gospel. Listen to the whisperings of the Spirit. and go to those in need, the channel will reopen and peace will flow, peace like a river. These two channels of peace, our inner spiritual life and doing the work of the Lord, are not separate and independent. Linked and fed by the headwaters of obedience, they are intimately connected. They complement and reinforce one another. When our inner spiritual life is strong, we qualify for the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit in our service to the Lord. Doing the Lord's work sends us to our knees in prayer and into the Scriptures. We seek guidance and strength in holy places so that doing the work strengthens our inner spiritual life. Fed by the headwaters, the channels of peace reinforce, magnify, and strengthen one another. When both are open and flowing, we experience the abundance of the Lord. We feel a desire to share with others the peace we feel. We are like the people at the Temple of Bountiful at the end of the first day of the Savior's visit to them. You remember, the people went home, but they could not keep what they had experienced to themselves. Listen to what happened. This is in 3 Nephi chapter 19. And it was noised abroad among the people immediately before it was yet dark that the multitude had seen Jesus, and that he had ministered unto them, and that he would also show himself on the morrow unto the multitude. Yea, and even all the night it was noised abroad concerning Jesus. And insomuch did they send forth unto the people that there were many, yea, an exceedingly great number, did labor exceedingly all that night, that they might be on the morrow in the place where Jesus should show himself unto the multitude. So what was the message that was noised abroad? He lives. The resurrected Lord has come. He lives. He taught us, healed us, and ministered unto us and brought peace to our souls. He is real. We saw him. He is coming back. He is coming tomorrow. Well, that is also our message, the message that we must noise abroad. When we do, we discover that sharing the peace we feel does not diminish what we have. Sharing increases our peace. It is, in fact, a channel of peace. When we share, the Lord magnifies what we have, and we have more abundantly. We have peace like a river. But we also come to know that when we don't share, we lose what we once had. When we experience peace but hoard it, keeping it to ourselves, it diminishes until we have it no more. I would like to conclude with a story about a family who found the peace that is in Christ because good and faithful Latter-day Saints reached out and shared the gospel with them. As I recount this story, please note the connections with the channels of peace. This is a story about David and Amy Marie Hadley. If you look at this picture, which was taken on the day of the baptism of Sister Hadley and the three children, what do you see in their eyes? They are happy and they are at peace. David and Amy Marie were high school sweethearts. They married while attending the University of Idaho and they had three children. David had been baptized a member of the church but was not active. Amy Marie had been raised Catholic but she was not active in her faith either. Here is their story in Amy Marie's words. I should tell you that I have her permission to share her feelings and testimony with you. As our children grew, I began to strongly feel that something very important was missing from our lives. After much thought and numerous prayers, I came to the conclusion that God was missing from our lives. I began searching for answers to my prayers. We became very good friends with Brett and Monica Nelson and their family in our hometown of Shelley, Idaho. They were very strong members of the LDS Church. I began to feel their strong family connection and great love for one another the more time we spent with them. I felt happy and peaceful in their home. I asked my friend about this. Now, listen very carefully to what Sister Nelson said. It was a crucial moment. Sister Hadley is searching. She's kind of sending up an SOS signal for help. And she turns to her friend, who she admires very much, and asks her about what she feels in her home. This is what Sister Nelson said. She answered that it was the Savior and our Heavenly Father that filled their lives with the Spirit. She began to tell me about the church and how it has brought so much love, peace, and joy to their family. She told me how important it is to her to know, without a doubt, that she will always be together with her family for all time and eternity in the celestial kingdom. I asked her to teach me more about it. During the following days, I continued to pray for our family. Now listen, one day, soon after our discussions, two missionaries came to our home. Now, you can tell what Sister Nelson did. She got in touch with the missionaries and referred them to her friend, Sister Hadley. I continue. Elder Waldman and Elder Rudd entered our home with a special glow and spirit about them. I had a very strong feeling in my heart and soul that I wanted them to come and teach us about the church and the scriptures on a regular basis. When they left on that very first evening, I felt so happy and peaceful. The next Sunday, our family went to church with the Nelsons in their ward. I was full of the Spirit as I listened intently to the scriptures and members bearing their testimonies. I left feeling even stronger that this was something I wanted our family to be part of. As weeks went by, we continued to attend church every Sunday in our own ward and had weekly lessons taught to us by our wonderful missionaries. The missionaries have brought the Savior back into our lives after so many years of searching for answers. My children and I were baptized on April 30th, 2011, only 2 short months after the missionaries came to our home for the first time. My husband is now active in the church again after feeling the Spirit and watching our family receive so many blessings in our lives. I testify with all my heart that the gospel of Jesus Christ brings us true happiness in our lives. We all endure trials and challenges in life. However, having the power and gift of the Holy Ghost with us guides us and gives us the peace we need to get through those difficult times. I am so blessed that our family has our Savior Jesus Christ and his living gospel in our lives. It's a wonderful story, brothers and sisters. But I testify to you something that I think you all know, and that is there are many, many Hadley families out there, many such people living in these valleys who are searching just like Sister Hadley was searching. The Lord is working with them, preparing them to hear from us, from you, and from me. I know that if we will speak to the people the Lord puts in our paths, great miracles will occur. And so, in these times of turmoil and commotion, I say, let us open our hearts and our mouths. Let us open the headwaters of obedience. Let us open the channels of peace in our lives. May we seek the Lord in mighty prayer, immerse ourselves in the scriptures, worship in holy places, and get up and go to work. Share the gospel, brothers and sisters. Invite friends and neighbors not of our faith to come to church. to read the Book of Mormon, to come to our homes to meet with the missionaries. Walk across the street or down the block and extend the hand of love and fellowship to one who has wandered. I bear witness that the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer, will go with us. He will bless us and magnify us and lift us up. This is His church and kingdom on the earth. He is preparing us and the kingdom for His return. I know, brothers and sisters, that He lives, that Jesus is the Christ, that we have a loving Heavenly Father, that they are reaching out and preparing and working with many, many people. All we need to do is go on our knees and ask the Lord to direct us to the people whom He's prepared. If we act with faith in Him to share and invite, we will be the means of bringing souls to Him, and peace will flow into their lives and into our lives like a river. I so testify in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.